the Watershed Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Gray, and I have a podcast today with Amanda Barb. It's her first time on the podcast, and we're mostly focusing on yoga, although she does talk about her massage practice as well. So really excited for you to listen to this one. I just want to remind you that you can go to watershedwellnesspodcast.com, and there's a contact form there, and you can make recommendations for different shows we might do. Or ask questions about the shows, and you'll also find the listing of all the archived episodes. So go check that out. Again, it's watershedwellnesspodcast.com, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next week. All right, thanks a lot. Okay, so we are here to talk with Amanda Barb, one of my very favorite people in the world, and we're hoping to talk today about yoga, but we'll start out just talking about your practice. So Amanda, if you don't mind, if you could just tell a little bit, I mean, you've got kind of got a long history, right? So it'd be really easy to just talk, but maybe you can just kind of focus first, like, on your massage practice. So, like, what is the deal with massage? How long you've been doing it? What's it about for you? And then move on to the kind of relatively newer yoga practice that you have.
Sure. Hi, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. So I started massaging in 2005, and so I've been massaging for about 12 years and have had a really great career. I have really awesome clients and really enjoy what I do. And what I've found mostly in my massage practice that really works well for people is helping them to receive the care that they need therapeutically in a relaxing environment. So what I mean by that is that if they come in with aches and pains and need help with, for instance, if they wake up with neck pain, something like that, I'm more than happy to help them with that. But I also recognize that stress is one of the major components of why people tend to feel pain in their bodies. And so I really believe strongly about helping them find some relaxation in the body, as well as working through the therapeutic stuff that they may be presenting with for that day.
Right. So I think, just to make it more obvious, that what you're saying here is, like, there's kind of, in the massage world, there's kind of spa treatment, more relaxation type massage.
Sure.
You know, kind of the Swedish massage being known as the kind of standard along that relaxation. Where on the other hand, there's kind of like this medical or therapeutic massage, which is more focused on, like, okay, you've got knee pain, I'm going to release your hamstrings and your quads and, like, do very specific work and, like, pressure point and, you know, trigger point release and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes, I think it's been many people's experience that if they go for a relaxation massage, they kind of don't get the working out things that they want.
Right.
But then when they, on the other, you know, so what you're saying, I think, is that those two things for you are kind of, like, you try to unite them.
Yeah, very much so.
Together.
So. Very much so. Because it is disappointing when you come in and you want something that's more therapeutically oriented and the person's not working on what you're asking for.
Yeah.
But then also I find that the body really craves that sense of relaxation too.
Cool.
And that often when you're experiencing something that's painful, you're in a heightened sense of awareness around that. So, So allowing for a sense of relaxation in the body, I think, actually helps facilitate that therapeutic response.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you... So you went to school, like, what, 11, 12 years ago?
In 2004 was when I started massage school. Mm-hmm. So 13 years ago. Yeah.
And, gosh, what, like, 5 years ago you had your first employee who did massage at Watershed? Or was it...
We have had employees at Watershed, I think, since 2010 or so. So
okay.
it's been a while.
Okay. And so, just, I mean, we're talking now about other practice, but I just think it's helpful since we haven't had any of the massage therapists on,
sure.
that you've trained a lot of them, most of them pretty soon out of school and, mm-hmm. and getting training, and you kind of train them on that kind of perspective as
yeah,
well.
Absolutely. And I find that I really do enjoy that mentoring process with newer massage therapists, especially because it's a tricky job and a lot can come up for people. And it's really interesting to me to help navigate those problems that do come up for the newer massage therapists, and also to help them be the best massage therapist they can be, not necessarily be me as a massage therapist, right? But just to find their own voice within the work and also do the same good work of helping folks find that relaxation and therapeutic work.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, and so that's the massage side of things, but you recently have added, at the Astoria Clinic, have added yoga, and then there's also somebody teaching Pilates there. And you've been doing yoga, I know, for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
but have only recently kind of brought it into a more, if I may say, professional realm. And so maybe you can just talk about like what brought you to yoga and kind of where you went to school and like how that's all developed for you.
Sure. So I started doing yoga when I first moved to Oregon, in 2000, and I was a transfer student at Oregon State University and very happy to find that I could take a yoga class as, part of my, physical requirements for college. And so
it's like an elective.
That was a really big deal for me in the year 2000, coming from Nebraska, that was an option that I had. So I was really excited about trying that out. So I have practiced yoga off and on since 2000, pretty consistently from that point in various areas, in various places.
Forms and places.
Uh-huh. But what I've really noticed is that yoga has been really helpful to me in my massage career, to keep my body healthy. And one of the things that I really notice, and one of the reasons I'm really excited to be offering classes, is I notice, especially in my older clients, but also in my younger clients, that movement is really important. And as people are getting older, it's really important that people find a movement practice that works well for them and that is functional for them. And that they can help use to keep balance and keep flexibility and keep the strength as they continue to change in their bodies as they get older or go through various transitions. So I've been really excited to be able to take my knowledge from what I know of the body from a massage perspective and see how that applies to a moving body and a yoga perspective.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting to have the crossover there. And it's been really, I do very much take from my massage knowledge and apply that to yoga from an anatomical perspective, you know, mm-hmm. helping people understand their bodies a little bit more, helping people understand the way their bones move and the way that the muscles move, and often focusing on one area during class to just facilitate a little bit more understanding of like, oh, okay, this is something that I can apply to the rest of my life.
Right. And also interesting to see clients as yoga students and then to see them in for massage,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
yeah.
you can really see like, okay, this person continually has difficulty in whatever, twists or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that's interesting. Like that must be because of this thing that I've noticed. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's really such a great thing to help facilitate that deeper understanding of the body for someone else. You know, that they don't understand why this isn't working well or like why they don't have the same rotation on one side as the other, and just like to help workshop that a little bit with people.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, I'm sorry, you did you say that you went to school where you learned yoga school?
Yeah, so I have been practicing probably for the last 7 years or so, maybe a little bit more than that, at the Bhakti Shop Yoga Center in Portland, and feel very lucky to have been trained by the teachers there. That's where I got my education. I currently have the 200-hour level training through them, and am pursuing the 300-level hour to get a total of 500. And they're super smarty pants there. I'm always so amazed and just grateful for the education that I've received there. They know the body really well. They have a really great understanding for what the longevity of these yoga practices are going to be like in a person's body.
Mm-hmm.
And are just really thoughtful about the way that they teach there. So I feel really grateful to have had that education, because I think it does go hand in hand with the massage education that I've received.
Yeah, and my understanding, because I obviously had practiced there at the Bhakti Shop before as well, is that they also pull in the philosophy aspect of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that for us at Watershed, you know, especially the Chinese medicine department, that's really important, you know, in that, you know, as Americans coming to a practice that is not from the United States, right? That is not
mm-hmm.
rooted in, and is also not rooted in my culture as a European American person. You know, like the fact is I don't have a root there. And so I've always found it really important from a Chinese medicine perspective to actually understand the culture in which this medicine arose, and not constantly be putting my American and or European sensibilities on it and perceiving it only through my own lens. And so I think Bhakti Shop does a pretty good job. They're not like, not making it overboard or like being appropriative or anything like that, but actually talking about it. Like, this is actually the philosophy from which these movements arose.
Sure.
And so do you feel like you pay attention to that?
I try to, because I think that both yoga and Pilates are practices, right? They're not just a workout.
Right.
I think that they both can have some deeper meaning, and they both do have deeper meaning. I think from a whole body perspective, right? Like you're getting the body movement. And I think that the body movement can be a really excellent doorway into understanding yourself a little bit better, coming into more better alignment with yourself physically, spiritually, mentally. It can just be a really great practice for that. So yes, I do try to talk more about the philosophical things because I think it is important to remember where these practices came from, and to honor those who brought those practices to the States, you know, right. And to give a little nod towards that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you have to be like completely overboard with that.
Right.
You know, it's just remembering that yoga is not just exercise, like
right.
you say, that it's actually a whole perspective, and that the learning those things can actually help your movement practice.
Yeah,
not, you know, it's not
for sure.
just, you know, and it doesn't mean, like, I think a lot of people have concerns both with Chinese medicine, but especially with yoga, that, you know, if they're, for instance, Christian,
mm-hmm.
that they can't practice yoga because of that philosophy aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that the way that I've seen it brought in the Bhakti Shop and the way I've seen you bring it in, it doesn't feel threatening at all. It's not about believing a certain set of things. You know, when you chant Om, it's not about, you know, whatever. It's not about adherence to some religious principle or that you're turning aside from the religion of your youth or anything like that. But it's just actually, you're actually learning yoga. You're actually learning the full integral practice, which involves all these different aspects.
Right.
It doesn't require you to abandon your old life. And I think that's
right.
really important because I think people have concerns about that.
No, it's
you know?
True. It's very true.
Yeah.
And I do try to present it in a way that like is open to everyone's own personal interpretation of it.
Totally.
Right. I'm not trying to say that this is how things are done.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
That there's some leeway there for whatever your own beliefs are, obviously.
Right.
So.
So, I mean, let's talk about the actual movement itself, because I think, you know, people who think about yoga, I mean, I think it's pretty common among many folks that when they think about doing yoga, they do think about it from a movement perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They think about feeling tight. They think about maybe, you know, even, you know, with certain types of movements, like rehabilitative movements that they, you know, like maybe they've injured a hamstring and they want to stretch it and get more movement in or whatever. So I do think that's usually people's inroad to it. And so maybe you can talk just a little bit about how that, you know, actual movement practice, I know you're really devoted to making sure beginners move their bodies in a way that has longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can just talk a little bit, like, how do you approach a beginner's level class?
Yeah, for sure. So my training that I had was actually geared towards people who don't do yoga. It's for people who have the thought, like, I can't go to a class, or perhaps have gone to a class and it's been way too much for them, or just they didn't feel comfortable there because they didn't know what was going on. So I feel very lucky that I've actually been trained in a way that helps people move through the poses in a methodical manner that helps them to understand and start to integrate, okay, this is what a downward facing dog looks like. And honestly, like in our beginner level classes, I don't really do a lot of down dogs and the sort of up down yoga. It's more just like taking it a little slowly, more slowly, and letting the body start to integrate the movements that are the basics that, if you're interested, will allow you to go more towards the more advanced poses as your body becomes more ready for it.
Right.
But it's never a requirement, right? Like, yoga is about a lot of other things too. And so if you're happy with the level one classes being what they are, you know, then that's great. You don't necessarily need to accelerate to the other classes.
I think that's really important because, you know, for anybody listening, like, I don't, you know, we don't know exactly who's listening or whether they've come to classes or what's going on. But I do know because of my, like, in Astoria, thinking about patients I've talked to about the yoga classes, a lot of concerns are like, oh, I'm not going to stand on my head, or I can't turn myself into a pretzel or whatever.
Right.
And there's this real understanding that yoga is about those peak poses, just
sure.
like, you know, just like there's a thought that meditation is all about enlightenment or whatever. And that if you don't reach those heights, or if you're not ready for those heights, it's like the distance is so far between your average person and those heights that they just don't even start because they're like, you know, to heck with it. Like, that's
sure.
not what I'm about. And I think what you're saying is that a person could come to your level one class where you may not even do downward facing dog,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like one of those standard poses everybody knows.
and certainly you don't need to be doing handstands or other types of stuff, that you can get tons of benefits of yoga, you know, no matter what your ability level is, what your, you know, ability to balance is, what your ability to turn into a pretzel is, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's really important for people to understand.
Yeah, and it is also really important to me. We use a ton of props, and it's
important. What do you mean by props?
Yeah, for sure. So block straps, walls, chairs,
right.
Anything that helps you be in a pose more comfortably.
Yeah.
We'll find the support that works for you. Blankets. And I also want to mention, too, that it's, you know, yoga is not just for, like, skinny white women.
Yeah, no,
and I think
important.
That that's important to say, because I think that Eric's got something there, too, with the representation of what yoga looks like in this culture. We see a lot of pictures of, like, fancy poses that are not accessible to me, even, or not accessible to a lot of folks, right?
And it's like, awesome that those people can do those.
Oh, super awesome.
Skinny white women or not, it's awesome that if you can do those things. But.
Totally. But, you know, we work with a lot of other poses that are actually really challenging that don't look fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes just sitting on your butt on the floor.
It's true.
You could take a month to settle into that position and it would be great work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just think if you were at work, many people who are listening to this work in offices, you know, at computers. Like, just think if at your chair, you could be that much more comfortable just in a seated position like that. I mean, that could be the difference between reaching the end of your day completely exhausted and reaching the end of your day feeling relatively okay. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think those
sure.
little things, those little tiny movements make such a huge difference. You do not have to be able to do full lotus position on the top of a mountain in perfect fancy yoga clothes with a sunset behind you in order to do yoga. I mean,
it's true.
It's more than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's, we're getting a little long here, so let's just finish up a bit. So there's a new schedule. So today is Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. This will come out in a couple days. There's a new schedule. You've got two new teachers, and of course, Jillian is still here with us.
Mm-hmm.
You're still teaching your same classes, I think.
Yeah. So we have a lot of classes on the schedule. I think at present we have about 13 classes that we're offering every week. And I've tried to be really intentional about the way that we've set up the schedule. And by that, I mean that if you're interested in taking level one classes, you'll have the option to take a few level one classes at consistent times through the week so you can plan your schedule accordingly. We are offering a little bit more availability through the evening classes as well. We've brought on two new teachers. So we've brought on Jamie, who's teaching some power yoga, which I'm really excited about. So that will be a little bit more of like a workout, sweaty flow.
Yeah, because we've had a request for
mm-hmm.
that, right? Because it's not so much your tradition, but it's really cool to have that availability for people. Yeah,
for sure. And then she's also going to be teaching a yin yoga class, which is quieter poses, not necessarily less challenging, but their poses held for a little bit longer. And that will be in the evening on Tuesdays.
And the intent is to just be more of a relaxation or like a downshifting.
Yeah, and it also helps to work a little bit more with the connective tissue when you can be well supported in poses and holding them for a little bit longer. So it helps to work on the connective tissue and the stretching in that way.
Cool.
And it can also be quite meditative and also challenging in the same way that meditation can be challenging.
right.
So... and then we're bringing on Kaisa, and she'll be teaching some level one and level two classes, level one, two classes. So we're trying to offer several classes throughout the week that give a nod towards whatever level you're at, right? The beginning level classes being the level one. Level one, two, we'll start to introduce some more of like the downward facing dog shapes and a little bit more challenging poses. And then the level two class will definitely be a little bit more challenging. So that one you should have some familiarity with some of the I think downward facing dog is actually one of the more challenging poses in yoga to figure out. So having some knowledge and understanding of what yoga already is before you enter into a level two class is helpful. And then of course, Jillian, who's very talented with her Pilates education and her teaching there, she's gotten, she has a really great following here already and she's really great at what she does. So,
yeah. And Pilates is more, it's not yoga at all, right? It's a completely different philosophy that's more focused on, I think I understand, like more core strength and really like intentional movement from the core.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more exercise-y in a way,
I think,
right?
So, yeah. But it was also developed to help people rehabilitate from being bedridden, right? So
right.
It was something that helped them while they were in bed still maintain their muscle density, right, and their movement.
Interesting.
So we currently teach just the mat Pilates. We don't have any of the machines or anything.
Right. But yeah, every time I hear one of those classes, people sound like they're really working hard and having a good time. So.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've got yoga 1-2 level classes. We've got beginners level. So we have level 1, level 1-2.
Uh-huh.
And then level 2 as well?
The level 1-2 spans between the beginning and the more advanced. So the level 1-2 classes are the most accessible to everybody. I try to, and Kaisa does as well, tries to give a lot of options regardless of where you are in your practice. So you should be comfortable there and know that you can either accelerate or decelerate as needed.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, so all those classes are available now, right?
Yep.
The new schedule has started.
Yeah.
And we'll be working with that schedule until we've need to add or subtract
So I'm working with the scheduling on a term basis, so this schedule will be through the end of the year, and then we'll reevaluate and add new classes in January or change things up in January if we need to. We do have a couple package options, class cards. We are giving a student and military discount. We also have, if you want to try out all of our classes, we have a 2-week intro special for $20 where you can come to any of the classes throughout the week for $20 for 2 weeks. So that's a really great way just to figure out, like, what is it that's going to work best for me?
Yeah.
What teachers do I like? What times work best for me? So it's a nice way just to try out a lot of classes for a pretty low monetary output.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Any last minute things? We're here at the 20 minute mark. Any last little notes?
Mostly I'm just really excited to be here. Honestly, we're really excited to be part of the Astoria community, especially helping to provide some movement options there. There's a lot of other really great options out here too. And we're just excited to be, here mostly. To be part of this really awesome community.
Yeah.
And always, if you guys have questions, let us know. Feel free to reach out via phone or email.
Well, and especially if you want to answer to this podcast or even have any ideas for the podcast, you can just go to watershedwellnesspodcast.com and you'll see all the episodes there. And there's also a contact form there that you can submit comments.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very easy to get in touch with, Facebook, Twitter, all the things. So.
Yeah, and through our website, Watershed Wellness Astoria, we have, under the yoga section, I've tried to answer some of the common questions that people might have before they come to a class. So please do feel free to poke around there, and there's email contacts on there too if you have a question that I haven't answered that I need to add to that section. Please do let us know.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Amanda, and hopefully we'll get you back on here to talk about something else sometime soon.